Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our business article on page 30, and the title of this article is India's Best and Brightest Return. Here with me in the studio is Amanda and Carolyn. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here today. And Amanda, have you been to India? Know anything about India?
Well, I haven't been to India, but we do have a lot of people that immigrated from India to New Zealand.
Okay.
So, culturally, we have a lot of Indians in New Zealand, and because New Zealand is a very multicultural place.
So you had some Indian friends growing up?
Yes. Throughout my whole life, in my childhood, even in high school, even now, I have Indian friends.
All right. And Carolyn, how about you? Have you been to India or grew up around Indians in America?
Well, there aren't a lot of Indian immigrants in West Virginia other than perhaps doctors and a few teachers, but I have been to India. I went there and went to Kolkata and the surrounding area, and it was a very interesting experience, very, very different from what I'm used to in Taipei or in the United States.
All right, yes. It's from what I've heard, it is a very different experience. And here we're not talking so much about, you know, going to India and traveling. We're not talking about that at all, actually. But we are talking about business. And this is an intriguing business article because we're talking about how people, Indians in particular, are moving from America back to India to work. And actually, our deck talks about that. What does our deck say?
Well, our deck says, tech boom lures engineers and entrepreneurs back home.
All right, we see that word boom there in the deck, Carolyn. What's that about?
Well, if you have a boom in something, like here we're talking about the tech industry, that means that it expands very rapidly. We kind of think of the word boom as being used to describe an explosion, and so it expands very quickly.
So the technology industry is exploding, so to speak, in India, meaning that it is growing at a rapid pace, and it's luring engineers back to their home. And when I think of that word lure, I think of, you know, you have something, maybe you have a dog and you have a treat, and you're trying to lure it somewhere to do something, or, you know, you have that treat in front of it, you're trying to draw it in, right, Amanda?
Right, yeah, attracting something to come towards you, maybe through reward or something like that.
All right, so these engineers are coming back home, and in the title it says best and brightest return. That term brightest, Carolyn.
Well, here bright doesn't describe a light, it describes someone who is intelligent. So when we talk about the best and brightest, we usually see this as a phrase, and it's used to describe people who do very well in school or are in the top of their field.
Yes, we normally use that word bright to describe Carolyn. We say Carolyn is very bright, meaning she's very smart, right?
That's right. And we can also mean bright to mean they have a happy personality, and Carolyn is also bright in that aspect.
Bright in every way. Yes, and even the shirt that she's wearing is a bit bright today.
Yeah, glowing in these lights.
All right, well, we are on page 30, and we are talking about India's best and brightest return. Let's have our first reading for today.
India's best and brightest return. Tech boom lures engineers and entrepreneurs back home. Kanubal's American dream was coming together in late 2007. He had Ivy League degrees in business and engineering, a debut job at Microsoft, and a roadmap to the career he'd always wanted in Silicon Valley. Then his application for a U.S. visa was rejected, and he was kicked out of the country. Lucky for him.
All right, well, we start off talking about Kunal Ball, and he is the CEO of Snapdeal. You see his picture there at the top of page 30. And as we start off our reading, we talk about the American dream. What is that, Carolyn?
Well, as an American, right, we have this idea of success, of being able to climb the ladder of success and be economically sufficient, be self-sufficient, be able to support our families, own a home, have cars, and just be successful generally in life.
And to be prosperous, right?
Yes.
Is really the idea. And of course, I think everyone wants to be prosperous and to be successful in that sense. But sometimes people can get overly focused on all of that, right? And it can, things can get out of balance. And so that's something else to watch out for as well. Mm-hmm. So that can be sometimes be viewed in a bit of a negative way, but mostly it's meant in a positive way that people are going after success. Well, that's what Kunal Ball was going after. And, you know, it says his American dream was coming together in late 2007. And then we learn about his education, Amanda.
Right. He had Ivy League degrees in business and engineering. Now, Ivy League meaning from the schools or the universities that are regarded as Ivy League.
That's right. And there are actually 8 of those, and they are very respected universities in the northeastern United States. And so if you go to one of those, you're viewed as someone who's, you know, smart and successful.
Right. And those schools are very difficult to get into. They have very high acceptance standards. So getting into an Ivy League school and completing your degree there is no easy feat.
All right. So he went and got these Ivy League degrees, and then he had a debut job at Microsoft. Now, that word debut, we think of something coming out for the first time. And so this is his, I guess, first big job, right?
Mm-hmm. And he's working for Microsoft. Also, not an easy thing to do, but made maybe a little bit easier because he has these Ivy League degrees and he's clearly very smart.
All right. So everything seems to be going well for him. And we continue on. It says, it talks about a roadmap to the career he'd always wanted in Silicon Valley. And so he had this dream, this idea of what he wanted, and it seemed to all be coming together. But then what happened, Amanda?
Well, immigration got in the way. His application for a U.S. visa was rejected, which means his working visa was rejected, so he can't work in America.
So, as a result, he had to leave the country. It says here that he was kicked out of the country. And but the next sentence is very interesting. It says, lucky for him. When I'm reading this, Carolina, it doesn't sound very lucky to me.
Right. No, you hear about all of these different things, the great things that he has going for him in the United States. He's on this great road to success, and then he's kicked out of the country, and it's a good thing? It's lucky?
And we'll find out why in just a few moments. But before we go on to our next reading, I just wanted to talk about the idea of when your plans fall apart. Has that ever happened for you, panelists? You're going down the road, everything's fine, but then everything falls apart. What do you do in that situation? Amanda?
Well, I think because I believe God to entrust him for the things that happen in my life, when that happens, I realize he must have another plan for me.
All right. That's a really good way of looking at it. There's something else good that's coming down the road. Carolyn, has that happened with you before?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Plans definitely fall through, and it can be very frustrating when you've been planning for such a long time and putting lots of work and effort and even money into a certain goal that you want to reach, and then it just falls through and nothing's left and you can't salvage anything from it. But oftentimes it does turn out that it's for the best and something better comes along later on.
That's right. And I think it's a good reminder that we don't put all of our hope in a job or money or something like that, that there are more important things in life. And so when those things do fall apart, it's rough. It's really hard. But we just take it one day at a time and keep going toward whatever is next. And talking about what's next, let's move on to our next reading, Greener Pastures.
Greener Pastures. Back in India, he got over the shock and founded a company in New Delhi with a childhood friend. Today, Snapdeal.com, is one of the most highly valued startups in the world's third largest economy, valued at about $5 billion U.S. dollars. The 31-year-old is one of the thousands of a generation of engineers and entrepreneurs who quit America for home, some by choice, some because of U.S. immigration barriers, to find a technology industry with more greenfield opportunities than Silicon Valley. Many Indians aren't leaving at all or are going to the U.S. for degrees from Harvard and Stanford with no plans to stay after graduation. The two governments don't keep tech sector reverse migration data. But Sonali Jain, a professor at the University of North Carolina, Pembroke, who studies the phenomenon, calls this a very upbeat moment in time for India that encourages homecomings.
All right, greener pastures. When we talk about this phrase, what are we referring to, Amanda?
Well, that's a great question, Brandon, and we actually see it in our vocabulary focus. It's an idiom meaning that a new place or activity that offers new opportunities. So something better and newer.
Sometimes we'll say, I guess you're moving on to greener pastures.
Right.
And so maybe you're leaving your job and going to something else. You're moving on to something new in life, right?
Yeah, and you believe that it's going to be better.
Yes, yeah. That's a key point. And so here we're back in India. We're talking again about Kunal Ball, and he was in the States, and he was kicked out because of the immigration visa issues, and then he went back to India, and he got over the shock that he lost, you know, all of this, what he had there in the U.S., his job and so forth. But what did he do, Carolyn?
Well, once he got over that shock, he founded a company in New Delhi with a childhood friend. So it seems like he has moved on to greener pastures, right? He's gone from working for a company to founding his own.
And I think a good point here to remember is that when you lose out like this and you feel like your life is falling apart, you just continue on. And that's exactly what he did, Amanda. And I want to talk about this childhood friend thing. Do you have any childhood friends, Amanda?
Yes, I have several childhood friends. And it's interesting, like, keeping up with them. I think Facebook has helped with that because we are abroad, mm-hmm. In a different country. But it's always fun to just see how people's lives change, but also just where they end up and what they do.
And keeping that relationship for such a long time, do you have any childhood friends?
Well, if it weren't for Facebook, I don't think I would know what any of my childhood friends were doing.
Yeah.
Because I kind of lost contact with most of them once I went to college.
Yeah.
We all went to different schools, and then I moved overseas. So it kind of makes it tricky. But thanks to Facebook, I do get to see updates like, oh my goodness, my friend from first grade is married now and has a baby. And it's very fun.
Yes, it's challenging to keep those childhood friends when your life changes a lot. But here we see that with Kunal Ball. He has this childhood friend, and he started a business with this friend. And what's the name of that business, Amanda?
Snapdeal. Snapdeal.com.
All right. And that is an e-commerce company, and it's one of the most highly valued startups in the world's third largest economy. And so that the third largest economy is referring to India.
Yes. So I think that the first two largest economies are the United States and then China, and followed by India as number three.
All right. And so as we move on, we see that it's valued at about $5 billion, this company, Snapdeal.com. So it's worth a lot of money, Amanda. Sounds like he actually did move on to greener pastures.
Really, with that amount of money, it does sound like that, doesn't it? I think we also will learn, you know, startups are a lot of money to start up, to begin, you know. So they do have this big value, but they will find that they have people that invest in the company, they bring value into the company. And, for example, this one has been quite successful, as we'll go on to see.
All right, and so Snapdeal.com, again, it's an online marketplace, and you can go on there and buy lots of different things, and we'll talk more about that later, but it has been a huge hit in India. And as we move on, we see that the 31-year-old is one of the thousands of a generation of engineers and entrepreneurs who are coming back home. And so he's not the only one. As we started off this article, we talked about the tech boom and how it's luring engineers home. A lot of people are involved in this tech boom, Carolyn.
Right, yes. And some of them are coming back because they want to. They choose to return to their home country. And some of them are leaving the United States for similar issues that Kunal Ball ran into with the immigration barriers. But they find a technology in India with more greenfield opportunities than Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that word greenfield, maybe you're not familiar with that, and it's not a word we use every day for sure, but it is talking about an area that has not yet been developed. And so there are a lot of people there in India, a lot of engineers who are working in the tech industry, but there's a lot of opportunity, basically, is what it's saying. And so that's why they are returning home.
Mm-hmm. And we often think that all of the tech opportunities are in Silicon Valley, but actually it's so overrun, I think, with tech companies that it's really difficult to start something there. So
right.
If you want to begin from scratch and have your own startup and get investors, it might be better to go somewhere else.
That's right, because there are more opportunities there. Well, many Indians aren't leaving at all. They're not leaving India to go study in the U.S. or to go study somewhere else. They're staying right there. Others are going to the U.S. to study and get their degrees, maybe from Harvard or Stanford and so forth, but they don't plan to actually stay there. So things have shifted from what was happening in the past.
Right. I think, like Carolyn mentioned, a lot of concentration has happened around Silicon Valley in the past. And so many people, just like Kunal, his ideal, his American dream was to get a job in Silicon Valley. And that was seen as successful. But now people are seeing that there is opportunity around the world.
Mm-hmm. And there's opportunity in India. So they don't necessarily have to leave the country to succeed.
All right. Well, as we go on to talk about the governments, the two governments, they don't actually keep tech sector reverse migration data. Now, that is a lot of words there, but actually it's not that difficult. When we're talking about the tech sector, of course, sector is talking about an area, and we have like the financial sector and so forth. This is the tech sector, or you can maybe talk about the tech industry.
Mm-hmm. And so here, sector is referring to a part of the economy. So this is the technology department or area of the economy. And then we have reverse migration data.
That's right. Yeah, migration is talking about, of course, a lot of people, they go to live in another country. All right, and here we have the word reverse, though, because these people, they're coming back home. They had left their home to go to America, and so they're returning back. That's why we have the word reverse.
Right. So it's that idea of moving to one place and then going back to your original location. And because the governments don't keep information on reverse migration data in the tech sector, we don't really know how many people exactly this is affecting.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn. Well, we move on and we meet a professor at the University of North Carolina, Amanda.
Right. We meet Sonali Jain, and he is from Pembroke in North Carolina, and he has been studying this phenomenon, the phenomenon being people returning back to their home countries, particularly this one from India, that because of the tech boom, these engineers and entrepreneurs are returning back to India, and he says that it's a very upbeat moment in time for India. And he encourages these homecomings. So I think he himself has been studying it, and he thinks it's a great opportunity for India.
All right, and upbeat meaning full of hope, and good things are going to happen, and you feel happy about where you are. Okay, and we can use this for people. It's a very upbeat person, has an upbeat personality, right? And here, again, we're talking about an upbeat moment. And all of this is encouraging people to come home. We have the word homecomings, Carolyn.
Right. So a homecoming is just when someone goes home after being away for a long time. And we can also use this to describe a reunion. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you have a high school reunion and you could call that a homecoming because mm-hmm. you're all coming back after having been away for a long time.
All right. So a lot of people are coming home and they are joining in the tech boom there in India. Well, we have more to talk about today on our first day of this business article. Next, we will have our last reading for today.
Moving from west to east. India's booming startup culture probably wouldn't feel any effects if the H-1B floodgates suddenly opened. The supergrowth potential these days is east, not west. While only about 19% of Indians are connected to the Internet, their numbers are mushrooming. Economic output is expanding at an annual rate of more than 7%, and by some projections, the country's population will reach 1.6 billion to surpass China's by 2050. India's hard to resist. Google engineering executives Piyush Rajan and Puneet Soni recently left the company and California for home to join Flipkart, India's largest e-commerce company and Snapdeal's main domestic rival.
All right, we're moving from west to east when we're talking about this particular issue. We're talking about India's booming startup culture. And this culture probably wouldn't feel any effects if the H-1B floodgates suddenly opened. Now, listeners, you may not be familiar with the H-1B visa. What is that, Carolyn?
Well, it's just a special visa in the U.S. that's given to foreign workers who have certain expertise or are specialized in a certain field. So, as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of doctors in West Virginia who are from India mm-hmm. or other countries because they have that expertise in that field and it's in high demand.
That's right. So maybe, for example, in America, they don't have enough people living there who can fill those positions, at least not to the level of expertise that they need. And so they open up opportunities to foreigners to come and work there. And so that's what this visa is all about. But here we see that even if the floodgates open, if all of a sudden they begin to accept even more people, when you see that word floodgates, it means something suddenly becomes possible or a lot of things begin to happen. And so if they open this visa up to a lot of people, people may still just stay there in India. It may not be lured by that.
Right.
Okay, so the super growth potential these days is east, not west. Before, people were coming westward. Now, that's not the case.
Right. We see, especially we've seen with China in the last couple of years, that has an increased, well, super growth has increased there. And now we see that the same is happening in India.
Okay, well, while only about 19% of Indians are connected to the Internet, their numbers are mushrooming. So more people are going online. Not so many are really going online right now, but it is growing is basically mm-hmm. what they're saying. And then we hear about their economic output, Carolyn.
Yes, it is expanding at an annual rate of more than 7%, which is huge for an economy, especially one like India's, where they have so many people.
Yeah, well, we already learned that India has the world's third largest economy. So we see here that it is growing. And some project that the country's population will reach 1.6 billion, which will be larger than China. This will probably happen in 2050.
Right, and that's what that word surpass means. Surpass means to go beyond. So right now, China has the largest population in the world, but by 2050, it is projected that India will have the most people.
Okay, so there are a lot of people economy is growing, that is a good combination for starting a new company, I would think.
Right, which is why it says that India's hard to resist. This is a great opportunity for growth.
All right, so it is hard to resist because of all of this growth that is occurring. Well, Google engineering executives, we have two of them here. What are their names, Amanda?
Piyush Ranjan and Puneet Soni.
All right. Well, these executives, they recently left the company there in California, and they went back to India to join Flipkart. And what is this company about?
Well, it's an e-commerce company, and it's Snapdeal's main domestic rival. So both of these companies are based in India, so they're domestic in India, and they are rivals. So they are competing for the same customers. They're offering the same type of e-commerce service.
Yeah, when I think of that word rival, I think of high school and playing against another team that's maybe in the same city that's your rival, meaning that you compete against them and you really, really want to beat them because they are your rival. Here, we see that Flipkart and Snapdeal, they are rivals and they're both out there wanting to get those customers and they're in the same industry, of course. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are coming to the end of day one of our business article, and we have more to talk about tomorrow. In the meantime, we hope you will check out our Topic Talks videos. You can simply scan the QR codes there in the magazine. We have the introductions, insights, features, and Get It Right all there for you to enjoy. So we hope you'll check that out or go online to studioclassroom.com to watch those videos. Well, until tomorrow, this is Brandon,
Amanda,
and Carolyn
saying goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.